priesthood. And thinking about Leviticus 16, if you've ever read through Leviticus, sometimes you are trudging through this, trying to read all that's there. But I'm thinking especially, it's interesting how Ken should come up and speak about the Jewish people, because this is obviously part of Jewish culture, and the Jewish faith is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And it at the Day of Atonement, what would happen is the priest would take off his priestly garments. He would put on a linen ephod, a linen garment, and he would go into the Holy of Holies. And I've often tried to make this church sort of seem like that to us, because that would be the outer court. Then we would have the first curtain back here, and then that would be sort of like the Holy of Holies. So it was divided into three portions, but the sacrifices were done on the brazen altar in the outer court. Then they came in, and in the first through the first curtain, there was the candelabra, the table of showbread, and the altar of incense. And then behind the final curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. And so once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would enter into that Holy of Holies, dressed in a linen ephod, and he would take the blood of a bull, of an ox, and also the blood of a goat. And he would go in and he would make sacrifice, not make sacrifice, but make atonement upon the mercy seat. So the ox was slain in the outer court on the brazen altar, as was the goat. But first of all, the ox was slain. He took the blood of the ox, and before he went into the Holy of Holies, he had to sprinkle blood in the pathway, and then he would sprinkle blood onto the mercy seat, which was the top cover of the Ark of the Covenant. If he didn't do this, he would die. So he had to approach showing that this was God showing that sin has consequences. Sin is very serious, and it can only be atoned by blood. And so the high priest would go in. Then after he sprinkled the blood of the ox, he would come back out, and there were two goats. One was called the sacrificial goat. The other was the scapegoat. And he would take and he would slay the first goat, and he would take the blood of that goat, and then he would go in and he would make sacrifice or make an offering and another atonement for the people. The first atonement, as I said, for the ox was to atone for his sins and the sins of the priesthood. But the second, the two goats, then the one was sacrificed, and that was for the people. Then he would come out and lay hands upon this other goat, and he would confess all the sins of the people upon the head of this goat. Then he would take a special fellow, and he would take him off into the wilderness, and they would release this scapegoat into the wilderness, showing that the sins had been taken out of Israel, and now they could start again. This had to be done on a yearly basis. After he had completed that, he would take off the linen ephod, put back his holy high priest garments, and he would go about his business. And so we see this was happening every year. And so then I wanted to make a comparison in that, or just to show you how the priesthood of Jesus Christ was far different than the priesthood, and the Day of Atonement was far different for us now that Christ has sacrificed himself. The Hebrews picks up where Leviticus 16 has introduced this. Now, Hebrews tells about what was a shadow in the Old Testament is now a reality in the person of Jesus Christ. So think about this. It's very important to get into your mind, because you understand why the shedding of blood and the sacrifice of animals had significance. And so in Hebrews 10, 11 through 18, it said, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bearing witness to us
For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, declares the Lord, I put my laws in their heart and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. So we see in 10, Hebrews 10, he is saying that the offering for sin that the priest makes needed to be made daily. But the one that Christ made and the offering for sin that was made by the priests, the Old Testament, never could take away sins. It was a covering until the perfect sacrifice should come. But now we have Jesus Christ coming, and he is a better priest. They're called a better priesthood, a better sacrifice. And so understand this. In Hebrews 7, it says, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, speaking of Jesus, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily to, as those high priests did, to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh no man high priest which has infirmity. But the word of oath, with which, since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. So I just want to point out about five different things that Jesus is different and better than. I know this sounds very academic to begin with, but then we'll get into some application and what this means to us because of what Christ has done. First of all, Jesus is sinless. Amen? It says, the Bible says, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ never committed a sin. Even though he was tempted, he wasn't tempted even in the way that we're tempted. We're tempted that if given the opportunity, maybe we would do it. But Christ was so indwelt by the power of God and the Holy Spirit, obviously, the Bible says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that he never had a disposition to go against the will of his Father. So the Bible says that he is without sin. And Hebrews 7, 26, which we just read, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners and made higher than heavens. Now we have a sinless high priest that is coming to make this sacrificial offering. As is compared to the high priest of the Old Testament who were sinners making this offering. So that's the first observation. And then he didn't need to make an offering for or a sacrifice for himself because he was sinless. And so the second difference is, in 27 said, who needeth not daily as the high priest to offer up sacrifices first for their own sins. So being sinless, he did not need to make a sacrifice for himself. But he did enter in and he made sacrifice of not the bull. He didn't have to sacrifice the bull, but in essence, the goat was sacrificed. And that goat, in this case, would be a prefiguring of Jesus Christ himself. He was the sacrificial goat that was slain on the Day of Atonement. And so when he entered in, the sacrificer became the sacrifice. Jesus entered in and he was sacrificed for our sins, for your sins and mine. And now that's the third thing, that he needn't daily to do this. It was, thank God, his sacrifice was once for all. It says in Hebrews 27, for this he did once when he offered up himself. The sacrificial system was contingent on not only a yearly sacrifice, but they took in the morning and the evening sacrifice as trespass offerings and such. But the Day of Atonement was to cleanse or to cover the sins of the Jewish people. All other priests were appointed by the law, and they were children of sons of Aaron and of the Levitical tribe. But Jesus Christ was given his priesthood by an oath of God the Father. It says in Psalm 110:4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The oath is spoken to Messiah. This oath is spoken to the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 10:1, the Lord said unto my Lord, the Messiah, sit at my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. And so we can see that this sacrifice that Jesus made, being once for all, has covered the sins of all mankind. And then lastly, he is a priest forever. In Hebrews 7:28, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore, a high priest. Jesus never dies. His priesthood continues. And maybe you're not excited about this yet, but when you understand what has been done and what is being doing for you, you will be excited. There was a nice chart that I saw from the gospelcoalition.org. It just gave the comparison that I've made, but the Levitical high priests, there were many priests. Jesus is only one priest. They were temporary, but Jesus is permanent, being eternal. The sacrifice was daily. Jesus made the sacrifice of himself once for all mankind. They were sinners. He was holy and innocent. They offered the sacrifice for themselves. Jesus offered the sacrifice of himself for others. He entered a man-made tent, and here it said he entered a greater and more perfect tabernacle, which is in heaven. Jesus Christ has now entered into that place. And lastly, he entered by means of the blood of goats and calves. Jesus entered by means of his own blood. Now, the sacrifice has been slain. That is what should excite a person. The veil has been torn asunder. The sprinkling of the blood has been on the mercy seat, and the way has been made open. And so when you think about ever having access to God, know that the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ has been made for you. That the veil of the curtain has been torn in half. The blood has been sprinkled on the mercy seat, and now the way is open for you to come boldly into the throne room of grace. Do you know that you can enter into the very presence of God Almighty and make your petition before him? That is the thing that has given me encouragement as I thought on these things. In Revelation 3:21, it said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit on my Father's throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne, the throne. And the fact that Jesus sat on his Father's throne indicates that the work of salvation has been completed. And moreover, he sat down on his Father's throne, showing that he has not set up his kingdom on earth yet, but he is returning, and we will sit on the throne with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? That's an exciting thing for me. As you begin to understand what Christ has done and what he is doing, when we needed the sacrificial system, or when the Jewish people needed that sacrificial system, when Christ hung on the cross, one of the words that he said has always stuck within me, it is finished. Do you know what is finished? The sacrificial system of the Old Testament is finished because the perfect lamb has been slain. Not only is that, but all our sins are forgiven for those that are in covenant relationship with Jesus Christ because he has died for your sins. It is finished. All sin is forgiven for those that have come to Jesus Christ. It is finished for the penalty of sin has been taken care of. It has been finished. The judgment that so many people feared, there was a fear of death that rested on people. It was because they were fearful of the judgment that awaited them after death. It is finished. There is no more judgment for you that be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he had no judgment. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that be in Christ. So we have the assurance that that also is finished. The Old Testament is finished. It is done away with. In fact, there was no high priesthood after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. We have a new and living temple. In fact, we are the temple of the living God. And Jesus Christ is our high priest seated in heaven for us, and we thank God for that. The old priesthood is finished. Now there is a different priesthood. What was accomplished on that day in chapter 4 of Hebrews again? Seeing then that we have a high priest that has passed into heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but is with all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Then he says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We should come to the Lord in prayer. Amen. We should come to the Lord with full assurance that he is ever there listening for us and listening to us. And he has blessed us in that. What Christ did when he rose and ascended into heaven is that he ascended into heaven. He gave gifts unto men, spiritual gifts that he has given unto you. And now he is seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And you know, the accomplishment that he has also given is that we are now priests. When I ask you how many priests do we have, the Bible said that each one of you is a priest. In 1 Peter 2:5, you also are as lively stones and are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so, if you would consider yourselves to be priests, which you are, you have a sacrifice to be making unto God. Well, there are four sacrifices that I've seen. And the first one I see in Romans 12:1, the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. So we, each and every one of us, should present our bodies. What does that mean? That we should live for Jesus Christ in everything we do. The Bible says, whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall win the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So have you done that? Have you presented your body to Jesus Christ? Are you living for Jesus Christ first and foremost in your life? If you haven't, consider that and consider that God is calling you to live a life that is dedicated unto him. Secondly, we are called forth to show praise in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How many people are happy that they have eternal life? How many people are happy that they're going to be with Jesus forever and ever? We should give praise to him every day. When you come into this service in the morning and we begin to worship God in song, your heart should be centered on the Lord Jesus Christ and how you can lift up your heart before him and praise him for who he is and what he has done for you. God has saved you from the destruction of separation in eternal torment and has brought you into a divine relationship with Jesus Christ. The third thing, in Hebrews 13:6, it said, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. So we are called, the Bible says, we are called unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. The occupation of our lives should be to do good one to another. Also, the fourth thing that follows along with that, also in Hebrews 13:6, said that do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. That's in the ESV. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The Bible says we are given, we have, so that we can give. And so these four things are things that we should think about when we think about giving service to God, presenting your bodies, giving praise to God, doing good on all occasions, and giving wherever you have opportunity to give. Think about those things that God has called you to do in sacrifice to him. So his present work in heaven is also very interesting. The Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Many here today are struggling with things. You're struggling with temptation. You're struggling with sin in your life. You're struggling with illnesses. You're struggling with a myriad of things that the world, the flesh, and the devil has foisted up upon us, and that at times we have willingly accepted. But the Bible said that we can come to Jesus Christ and he is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. Do you know that you have an ongoing, continual, eternal intercessor that is lifting up your specific name before the Father, which is in heaven, praying that you will be able to stand fast in the liberty that God has purchased for you? God is praying for you. Jesus Christ has you in his heart, has you in his mind, and he's interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. This is his present work. His work has not ended. He is presently interceding for you. The Bible also says he is presently advocating for us. The Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the satisfaction or propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ is your advocate. He's like a lawyer. When Satan comes up and said, did you see what Bill did? Did you see what Joe did? Did you see what Laura did? Did you see what this other one did? Jesus Christ advocates for us. When Herman was teaching Sunday school, he brought out a good point about the high priest and what is a high priest? How is he advocating and interceding for us? When I picture Christ advocating for us, I don't think him pleading God, oh, please, God, let them off the hook or this. I think Christ just presents himself as the one, and Satan comes up. Did you see the sin that he did? Did you see the sin that she did? And Christ stands there. All he has to do is show his hands, his pierced side, his pierced feet, and it's a reminder that he paid for the sins of all mankind. So when Satan stirs up in your mind and said, you know, you're not worthy to be a Christian because you have sinned or you've done something that is not respectful to God, then you go to your advocate and you say, Lord God, I know that I've done wrong. I confess that. And I know that my sins are forgiven because of what you have done for me in the cross. And I'm sure that as you remember the pierced hands and the pierced side and the riven back and the nails and the thorns on his brow, that you will remember that Jesus Christ advocates for you, that you might live a life that is holy and acceptable unto him. But when you do sin, Christ stands there for you to be able to intercede and to be an advocate for you, that you might turn away from sin. Jesus Christ is pure and holy and undefiled. He is my high priest. And I come to you, Lord Jesus, this day. And I know, Lord God, that as I look to you, you have me in your mind's eye, as you have this congregation in your mind's eye. Our desire, Lord God, is to go on into the deep things of Jesus Christ, to find you in a more sincere and a more personal way, that you would move in our life, Lord God, that you would transform us, that you would take us out of this world, Lord God, that you would give us a life that is exemplary and lifting up your name forever and ever. You, Lord, alone can sanctify us. You can set us apart from the evil of this world. God, we look to you this day to draw us close to you, to give us a deeper love for you, a deeper love for your word, a deeper love for your people. Jesus Christ, it is finished, the old sacrificial system. My sins have been atoned for. My sins have been washed away. I stand pure and holy before the living God, and there I will glorify the Savior and my King, Jesus Christ, the high priest, the lover of my soul. God, I give you glory this day. I stand this day, Lord God, as we come prepared to commune together around your table at the Lord's Supper. We bring all of ourselves before you, knowing that we have a high priest that right now is interceding for us. And the way has been opened before us by the blood of the Lamb. We can come boldly into the throne room of grace, knowing that we find mercy and grace to help us in time of need. Lord God, again, I know that there are people that are hurting in this congregation, people that are weighed down by situations, weighed down by the world, weighed down by personal sin. I pray right this moment, Lord God, that they would come to their Savior, Jesus Christ, to their intercessor, to their advocate who is in heaven, who is interceding for them at this very moment, and make their confession and their profession that Jesus Christ is theirs and they are Christ's, Lord. That they would be resting in you, Lord God, resting in the arms of the beloved, Lord God, filled with the beauty of your presence in their life. Lord God, we're not in this world alone. We are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But we have an advocate, but we have an intercessor, but we have a lover of our souls that is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, Lord God. I thank you for that, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that I can come boldly before you and present myself, Lord God, and you with your loving arms take us into yourself, Lord God, and there bless us and hold us, Lord, and say that you will guide us through this world. I give you praise and honor this day, Lord God, for your goodness, for what you have done for us. And Lord God, we commit our hearts and lives to you in Christ's name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Be ever prepared to come before the throne of grace and receive the beauty and the bounty that God has prepared for you of his love, of his mercy, of his grace, of his forgiveness. God has so blessed you, so blessed us, and we thank him for that. If the ushers would come forward, we will have our communion. Praise you, Lord.